Let's pray. Father God, we thank you that we can come here this morning. Lord, we thank you for the freedom to gather in your name, to open your word. Lord, I pray that as we continue looking through the series of I Believe, of what it is that we believe, what the apostles taught, what the early church passed on, Lord, I pray that we would understand how important each and every one of these aspects is to our faith, that without these, we're missing a piece of our foundation. And Lord, we know that a house built on a foundation that is not proper, Lord, it will not stand. So I pray that as we go through this series, as we continue to look at it, Lord, I pray our foundation will be strengthened and that our house would stand when we face the trials and the tribulations and the storms that life throws at us, that we would be able to persevere. So Father, we pray that you would be with us this morning. What's said and done here would be truth and would bring honor and glory to you. I pray these things in your Son's name. We're continuing our series on I Believe. We've been talking about the Apostles' Creed. And I don't know if any of you have gone home and Googled the Apostles' Creed or if you knew the Creed beforehand. But if you've been following the Creed, you know that the next part that we're getting to, well, I'll get there in a second. We've been breaking it up into portions, right? We've been looking at each portion of the Apostles' Creed, understanding that the Apostles' Creed is a basic just foundation. It's not denominational, and I'm going to keep putting this slide up every week. It is the basic foundational statement of faith. That's what the Apostles' Creed was. It was something that was written down. It was something that was simple. It was something that was easy to remember. It was something that was designed to be able to be passed on orally. So for those who didn't know how to read or how to write, they would still be able to grasp the basics that the apostles were teaching, the basics that the early church were teaching and what they believed in. So we've said that the creed is just that. It is the basics of our foundation, that they are the elements that we hold to be true beyond the shadow of a doubt. If you've been following along with the creed or if you've gone home and read it, you will see that the next part says, I believe in the Holy Spirit, right? So I believe in the Holy Spirit is where we're going to be looking this morning in the creed, because so far, we've looked at two other individuals, right? We opened up the Apostles' Creed, and it says, I believe in God the Father, almighty creator of heaven and earth, right? And then it says, I believe in Jesus Christ, God's one and only Son. He was born of the Virgin Mary, conceived by the Holy Spirit, who was crucified, died, was buried, descended into death, and 3 days later rose again. But there's a third person that we still need to talk about. Because remember, it is the Trinity, right? We grow up and we hear about the Trinity, that there's three people, three in one. It's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And unfortunately, it seems like sometimes the Holy Spirit gets the short end of the stick, right? Have you ever noticed that? We hear so much about God the Father. We talk a lot about creation. We talk about his love for us, that he'd be willing to send his one and only Son to die for us. And so we talk about Jesus Christ, God's one and only Son, who was willing to die for us. But we don't very often talk about the Holy Spirit, do we? It seems like sometimes he gets shortchanged. But the Holy Spirit, and we'll look at it this morning, is just as much God and part of the Trinity and has the same power as God the Father and God the Son, Jesus. So why don't we put as much emphasis on the Holy Spirit? We spend so much time talking about the other two, and they are extremely important, but the Holy Spirit is just as important. And we're going to see that this morning. So the Trinity, it's three people in one. So we're going to look at the Holy Spirit. We're going to look at specifically, who is he, and what has he done? So I want to start with, who is the Holy Spirit? All right, who is the Holy Spirit? We talk about the Trinity, we talk about God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And we all, for the most part, are well aware of the first two. But because the Holy Spirit doesn't get talked about as much, there's sometimes some confusion. There's not necessarily a lot of clarity for who he is or the role he plays or why he exists or he seems to be. It seems like when you add the word spirit onto something, they become this magical thing, right? It's a spirit. It's not a physical being. So sometimes the emphasis is taken away from the Holy Spirit because they say he's not a physical being. But we'll see that that's not true. You might be familiar with the passage in Matthew 28:19, right? A lot of us are familiar with it. We talk about it often, especially when it comes to missions. Matthew 28:19 is part of the commissioning of the disciples, or it's the Great Commission. It's where Jesus is talking to the disciples, and he says this to them. He says, go, therefore, and make disciples, right? And we know, because we've talked about it many times, because I know I've said it many times, the verb is not go. The verb is to make disciples. Jesus is implying to them, while you are going, as you're traveling throughout the land, as you're going to different nations, as you're talking to different people, you should be making disciples. And then baptizing them in the name of what? The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So Jesus puts a very specific emphasis on the Holy Spirit. He includes him with the Trinity. So when we do baptisms here, as we did a month ago, we baptize in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And we do it for a specific reason, because they are all part of the Godhead, the Trinity. They are all God. They all have the same power, but they each play different roles. And that's what we really want to focus in on this morning, is that they each play different roles. And the Holy Spirit has an extremely important role. Open your Bibles to John 16. We're going to look at a passage in John 16, verses 5 to 15. And what we see is Jesus preparing his disciples to leave. We talked about it a little bit last week, that Jesus died, rose again, and then he spends 40 more days here on earth, appearing to various groups of people in different areas, so that there were witnesses of his resurrection, right? There are people that can testify saying, we saw Jesus, he rose again, we saw him before he leaves. So there were witnesses that could attest to the fact that they saw Jesus after his death, that he did fulfill the prophecy he claimed he would, that he did, in fact, rise again 3 days later. But Jesus didn't stay here on earth permanently, right? He's not still here. And we looked about that last week. We said Jesus is where? Jesus is at the right hand of God, right? Doing what? Continuously interceding for us on our behalf. So last week we looked at the fact that Jesus is in heaven, where he said he was going to be, continuously interceding on our behalf. And in John 16, Jesus is preparing the disciples for his ascension. He's preparing them, trying to get them ready, saying, hey guys, I'm going to be leaving. Listen closely, I got to tell you a few more things. Because you need to know them, you need to understand them, they're extremely important. Because I'm leaving, you need to be able to follow along. So let's look at Mark 16, and we're going to start in verse 5, and we're going to read verses, John 16. I lost my marker. Verses 5 to 15. There we go. That's better. It says this, but now I am going to him, Jesus is speaking here, but now I am going to him who sent me, and none of you ask me, where are you going? Rather, sorrow has filled your heart because I have told you these things. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I do not go away, the counselor will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. When he comes, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment of sin. Because they do not believe in me. Verse 10, of righteousness because I'm going to my Father and you will see me no more. And of judgment because the ruler of this world stands condemned. Verse 12, I have yet many things to tell you, but you cannot bear them now. But when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but he will speak whatever he hears, and he will tell you things that are to come. He will glorify me, for he will receive from me and will declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. Therefore, I said that he will take what is mine and he will declare it to you. Jesus is telling his disciples, I'm going away. But though I'm leaving you, there is someone else who will join you. And when he joins you, you will be able to better understand a lot of what is going on, because I understand there's a lot of confusion. I have a lot more to tell you. I have a lot more that you need to understand. So because of that, though I am leaving you, I'm going to send the counselor. And if you go back into the original text, you look at the words that are used, and it's talking about the Holy Spirit. And it specifically uses a word that would represent an individual. an actual being. So not just a thought, not just this concept of the Holy Spirit, but actually saying the Holy Spirit is a being. All right, and it's important to understand. This ties into the next part, which is what does the Holy Spirit do? The who of the Holy Spirit is pretty basic. The Holy Spirit is part of the Trinity. The Holy Spirit is part of the Godhead. And he's the one that is sent to us when we accept salvation. If you remember when we went through the series on spiritual gifts, we talked a lot about the gifts of the Spirit, right? The gifts that are given to believers. And we said that these gifts are given by the Spirit. And we receive the Holy Spirit when we accept Christ as our Lord and Savior, right? That there's scripture that backs up saying, when you receive salvation, you receive the Holy Spirit. That the Spirit comes to dwell inside you. So who is the Spirit? The Spirit is the Counselor. He's the one that we're given to walk through life when we accept Christ as our Lord and Savior. So what does he do for us? If we accept him at the time of salvation, what does he actually do? What is his role? First and foremost, the Holy Spirit comes to live in us when we accept salvation. A lot of times, especially with younger children, you will hear this phrase, I accepted Jesus into my heart, right? I'm sure a lot of us in here have said that. That we say, I accepted Jesus into my heart. And that's slightly misleading for this reason. We know where Jesus is, right? Jesus is at the right hand of God, interceding for all the believers. Really, what we should be saying is, I accepted the Holy Spirit into my life. Yes, you're accepting the gift of salvation. That is true. Jesus provided the way for salvation through the cross. But the Holy Spirit is who comes and dwells inside of you and remains in you until we, at some point, join Jesus in eternity, whatever way that happens. So it's not true saying I accepted Jesus into my life, but the Holy Spirit is actually the one who comes into your life and dwells in you and is with you now on the daily basis here. You don't walk alone. You don't go through life alone. Though Jesus is interceding for you at the right hand of God, the Holy Spirit is who you have with you right now that walks alongside you. It's actually the Spirit that comes to dwell. Peter says this in Acts 2, verse 38. At Pentecost, right? Acts 2 is talking about the day of Pentecost because Jesus had promised them they would receive the Holy Spirit. And Acts 2 is when the Holy Spirit comes and actually we first see him represented. And I didn't put this one in my notes. So it says, Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Peter tells them, repent, accept salvation, and you will receive the gift of the Spirit. You will receive salvation. Identify that you are several things. First of all, you're a sinner. Second of all, you're in need of a Savior because nothing you do will ever be able to get you right with God. And once you've identified that, accepting the gift of salvation is as simple as saying, I'm a sinner in need of a Savior. I can't do this on my own. I can't be right on my own. I need Christ in my life. I need his redemption. I need his mercy. I need his grace. I need his forgiveness of sins. And I'm asking him to come into my life. I'm asking him to redeem me. When you accept salvation, you're accepting the Spirit now to come and live with you, to walk alongside you in everything that you do and say. Secondly, the Holy Spirit can be thought of as kind of your spiritual compass. All right, first and foremost, he comes to dwell inside you. That's the first step in his role. Then as you live your life, he kind of acts as this moral compass, right? Helping you make decisions if you listen to him. Or you can think of him as your spiritual conscience, right? This kind of thought in the back of your head. And as I was getting ready for this, I thought, what is the best example I can create? I can put a compass up there that points in different directions. I can make decisions, or I can break it down to my childhood. Because I relate best to this sometimes. Do you remember the story of Pinocchio? Who remembers Pinocchio's sidekick? What was his name? Jiminy Cricket. Jiminy Cricket. This is at the end of the movie where he has earned his official badge of being a good conscience. That's his badge of honor that he's showing off. But if you remember the story of Pinocchio, right? Pinocchio becomes a boy. And he meets Jiminy Cricket, and he's like, who are you? And he's like, I'm your conscience. And he's got a whole bunch of songs. He's got a really high-pitched, squeaky voice. And he's just this kind of fun guy that's like, oh, I'm along for the ride. But when Pinocchio would go to do something wrong, what would Jiminy do? He would tell him not to, right? Hey, don't do that. Hey, don't go there. Hey, don't make that decision. That's not going to be good. And what happens? Pinocchio does what we do. Pinocchio went and made bad decisions. And Pinocchio got himself in a world of trouble, right? If you remember the movie, it gets kind of crazy. And Pinocchio gets in a lot of trouble. And poor Jiminy Cricket's along for the ride. And Jiminy, I'm sure, just wanted to sit there and go, I told you so, I told you so, I told you so, I told you so, I told you so. Right? But he was this conscience, and he told Pinocchio, hey, don't do that. Hey, do this instead. Hey, go here. We know at the end of the movie it has a happy ending because, you know, it's a Disney fairy tale, and why, it's gotta. And Pinocchio gets out of trouble, and then Jiminy earns his little badge there of honor, saying he's a good conscience, he helped guide Pinocchio. In a similar way, the Holy Spirit acts in our life. Now, the Holy Spirit's not trying to get a badge. He's not trying to get approval from God, because remember, he's part of the Godhead. He has the same power as God the Father and God the Son. He is the same deity. He's not any lesser. He's not inferior. He is still God. But the Holy Spirit is the one that Jesus sends to us. That then is our moral compass. He's our Jiminy Cricket. But just like Pinocchio, you have a choice, and I have a choice. And that's, do we listen or not? See, the Holy Spirit isn't going to force himself into your life. That's not part of his role. He's not going to make you make a specific decision, because that would take away free will. We have a choice. Salvation is a choice. Even after salvation, to do right or wrong is still a choice. Every day you're faced with choices. Do I make the right decision or not? Should I do this? Should I say that? Should I be here? Right? And you have that choice. Have you ever gotten the feeling when you're trying to make a tough decision? Some people will say they have a peace about a decision, that just something felt right, that this was a decision that they should make. Or conversely, something told them, hey, don't go there, or you shouldn't do this. There's an example I would love to use, but my mother might shoot me. She happened to be picking me up from the airport one day, and something told her, leave your purse behind. Don't go into the airport to pick him up with your purse. You don't need that. And if you would like to know why, you can ask her. Because I'm not going to throw that out from up here. But there are moments and there are times in our lives, right, where we feel like there's just something telling us, hey, don't do that. Hey, maybe you should go talk to that person. Hey, they could probably really use some love in their life right now. Hey, maybe you should go see them. Hey, maybe this is the choice that you and your family need to make to better your family. If you're listening, the Holy Spirit will help guide you through life. That is what he is here to do. The Holy Spirit's been given to us to strengthen us, right? To help pick us up when we're down. He's here to get us through life. But that also means he's here sometimes to correct us. that when we go off the wrong way because, like Pinocchio, we didn't listen, he's here to correct us, but then get us back on track and to continue walking with us, right? Jiminy Cricket helps Pinocchio get back on track eventually, and then they keep going, right? The Holy Spirit's job is to do the same thing. When we make the wrong choices, because we will, because we are human, when we make those wrong choices, he's there to help correct us and to get us back on track. He's also there to intercede for us when we don't have the words to say. And that may seem a little crazy, but turn with me to Romans. We're going to look at Romans 8. In Romans 8, verses 26 to 27, there's a passage that talks about one of the roles of the Holy Spirit, specifically relating to when we just don't have the words. Have you ever found yourself in a situation in life where something has gone so catastrophically wrong that you just don't even know how to begin to talk to God about it? Maybe there was an incident and you just are left without any clue of what to do. You're standing there and just, how do I process this? How could this happen? How do I now go to God and ask for him to control the situation, because I just can't fathom how he would let this happen in the first place? You ever been there in life? You ever faced a situation like that? Guess what? When you don't have the words to say to God, part of the Holy Spirit's job is to say those for you, to intercede on your behalf. Look at Romans 8. Look at verses 26 and 27. It says this. It says, likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. He who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. The Holy Spirit is more than just a spiritual compass. He's more than just Jiminy Cricket. He's also there on your behalf when you don't know what's going on, when you can't fathom what's going on. There's a caveat to all of this, all right? And it's something that we all need to understand about the Holy Spirit and about his role in our life. He is here to help lead us and guide us, right? We talked about that. The one thing you can't do with the Holy Spirit is you and I cannot lead him. All right? It's very important to understand. First of all, what even gives us the right to think that we could lead God? Because remember, the Holy Spirit is part of the Trinity. He is just as much God as Jesus and God the Father are. He has the same power. He has the same rights. So how could we even think that we could tell him what to do or where to go or what we're going to do? We don't have that right, right? You cannot tell him where to go. You can't tell him what to do. You can try. And like Pinocchio, you can walk off that path and you can make the wrong choice. But understand, there are consequences. Because not every time is the Holy Spirit going to step in and stop you. There are times when we're going to make the choices, and we're going to be allowed to make the choices. And then we're going to learn sometimes a painful lesson at the end of it, right? That's part of growing. That's part of maturing. That's part of dealing with life. Francis Chan wrote a book, well, he's written a lot of books, but he wrote a book called Forgotten God, Remembering Our Tragic Neglect of the Holy Spirit. And in this book, he wrote this. There have been many times when I've tried to lead the Holy Spirit. I've wanted to direct him and tell him what to do and when to do it. The irony is that the Holy Spirit was given to direct us. Desiring the Holy Spirit means we allow the Spirit to guide us. By definition, it's ridiculous to desire the Holy Spirit for our own purposes. The Spirit is not a passive power that we can wield as we choose. The Spirit is God. We have to understand that. a being who requires that we submit ourselves to be led by him. When we talk about submitting to God and we talk about living a life that is pleasing to him, right? We talk about making choices that would honor him. We talk about doing things, saying things, being in places, interacting with people that would be honoring and pleasing to God. Remember, the Spirit walks with you every day. Everywhere you go, he goes because he lives in you. So when you think no one's watching, or when you think no one sees what you're doing, God knows because the Spirit's with you. He sees because he's right there beside you. You're never alone, but that's also a hope that we have, is that we are never alone, that we've been given the Spirit to walk with us every day through life's ups and downs, through the turmoil, through the good, the bad, and the ugly. He's there with us. A little bit later on in the year, we're going to go a little bit more into the Trinity and looking at some of the roles. But when the apostles were teaching, the Holy Spirit was new to the whole situation. What they had known of him was what Jesus had told them, right? When we look in Acts and we look in John, when we looked at John 16, if you go back to John 14, Jesus again is telling them, I'm leaving, but don't worry, I'm going to leave a comforter, a counselor with you who's going to help you. He's promising them that. That's the promise that's given to each and every one of us. But now we have the completed Bible. We get to go back and we get to look at how the Holy Spirit fits into our life, right? They didn't have that yet. They were still learning. In Acts 2, the day of Pentecost was new when the Spirit came down and came to live in their lives. After Jesus ascends to heaven, that's where everything started to change. We no longer needed to make sacrifices. We no longer needed to do things for atonement of sin. We simply have the ability now to ask for forgiveness. The Spirit lives in us day in and day out. He helps us make decisions. He helps guide us if we listen to him. Just like Jiminy Cricket, the Spirit can't, Spirit could force us. He is God. But we have free will, and he's going to let us make choices. Part of knowing what he wants us to do, where he wants us to go, is by having a daily relationship with him, right? We've talked about it in the past. Being a Christian is not a fire escape. Being a Christian is not just, I accepted Christ and now my eternity is secure, right? Being a Christian means that you want to have a life, a relationship with God our Father. He's called our Father for a reason, right? Because there's that relationship, father to child, that we want to have with him. But he wants it to be a daily relationship. He wants it to be something that every day we're seeking him, we're talking to him, we're listening to him. The more that we listen, the more we quiet our hearts to hear God, the more we're going to be able to see the life that he wants us to live. Are you ever going to see a completely mapped out plan of your life? No. I wish it was that easy, don't you? Don't you wish you could at some point sit down and someone could tell you, this is every choice you need to make. This is every place you need to go. This is every person you need to talk to. Follow this blueprint specifically, and you will achieve the life that God wants you to live, right? Wouldn't that be easy? It's kind of like when you have blueprints for a building project. Put piece A into piece B. IKEA furniture, anybody? I mean, those are atrocious. They make you just want to throw the whole thing out the window sometimes with their directions. But they got all the pictures, right? Piece A inserts the piece B, and you have 13 of piece D, and somehow it's got to fit into A. But at the end of it, if you follow all the directions, how they're laid out, you have the bookshelf or the table or the couch or the chair that you bought in that picture. It may not look exactly like the picture, but it'll function, right? That's not what life is like. Life is more like what I was trying to do yesterday. I thought I could build a hood for my aquarium, in a couple hours. My wife was at a baby shower, and I said, I'm going to go to my dad's house and use his saw. I'm going to chop some wood up real quick. I'm going to build a hood for my fish tank. I'm going to put the lights in it. It's going to be great. 2 hours, in and out, done. 10:30 is when I left my parents' house last night. I had gotten there at 12:30 in the afternoon. Can I tell you it's not done yet? Because I didn't have a blueprint. I literally sat there and said, this is what I want to do. Started doing it and then said, no, that's not going to work. Oh, Father. Hi, so help? But the first step I then took when I knew that I wasn't going to figure this out on my own was I called my father. Well, actually, I walked into the house and said, hey, I need your help in the garage. This isn't working. But I went to my dad, who I could get answers from, who I could get help from, who then helped me for the next 6 hours and went to Home Depot with me and helped me pick out the right things instead of what I was going to pick. And now we have an almost functioning project. But I was able to go to my father, and he was able to help guide me through the process and will continue to guide me through the process. You see where I'm going with this? The Holy Spirit is here with us, but we still need to reach out and ask for help. We still need to go to our Father and say, I need your guidance. I need your help. I need your strength. I need your correction. I need, because he'll give it to us, because that's the love he has for us. He wants us to have that relationship with him. He said, I'm going to offer you salvation through Christ, my son, but that's not it. I'm not going to leave you alone. You're going to have my Holy Spirit, and he's going to be with you every single day. And when you need strength in tough situations, he's with you. And when you need correction because you did something wrong, he's with you. And when things are going great, like Jiminy Cricket, he's with you to celebrate. But it's about us reaching out and asking. When you accept the gift of salvation, you accept the Holy Spirit into your life, and he's there with you now for eternity. But he won't force you. It's up to us on a daily basis to seek guidance from our Father, to seek guidance on what we should be doing, on where we should be going, on how we should be living. And the Holy Spirit is given to us to help us make those decisions. Who is he? He is part of the Godhead. He is part of the Trinity. He is just as much God and has just as much authority as God the Father and God the Son. And what is his role? His role is to be with us on a daily basis, correcting us, guiding us, influencing us, strengthening us. In everything that we do, everywhere that we go, he is with us. That is his role. We're going to close with a word of prayer. As we do, I want you to think about your daily life. Do you have a daily commitment to God? Each day, are you seeking his will for your life? Are you seeking his plans? Are you seeking what he wants you to do? Because you're given an individual that will help guide you through that if you're willing to seek and ask. So let's pray. Father, we thank you for your love. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you that you would give us the gift of salvation. Lord, that you would love us so much that you would offer a way out. But Lord, after your son rose again, you didn't just leave us stranded. Lord, that you promised that we would have someone who would be with us daily. Father, I thank you for the Holy Spirit. I thank you for the role that he plays in our life. Lord, I pray that as we go through our daily actions, that we would be seeking his guidance and his will for our lives. That we would be seeking his strength and his correction. Because we know that he speaks on authority of you. That you've given authority to Christ your Son, and in turn Jesus has given the authority to the Holy Spirit to speak into our lives. Lord, I pray that you would bless the remainder of the time that we have together, Lord, as we get ready to come before communion. And we remember the sacrifice that was made. Lord, I pray that we would seek to live lives that would be honoring of you, that we would seek the Holy Spirit out in all of our choices. We pray these things in your son's name.